But I believe that something is going to drop into your heart as we share God's word together. Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2. And I'm going to be reading from verse number 8. Luke chapter number 2. And I'm going to be reading from verse number 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night, and behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." Verse 11. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." Verse 15. "So it was when the angel had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.'" We'll go back to verse 11 and we're going to read verse 11 together. At the count of three. 1, 2, 3. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." I want us to do that together. 1, 2, go. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Shall we pray? Dear Lord, as we go into your word this morning, we want to first appreciate you for coming into our world to die for us. You came as a babe that was born in the manger, and you execute the divine plan and purpose. That's why we are gathered here today, to celebrate your birth, the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we hold and behold your word this morning, Lord, let there be let light shine from heaven. And let it bring illumination into our hearts this morning. Let it bring encouragement. Let it bring direction. Let there be a release into our hearts that is going to encourage us and give us hope in this world. I pray, O Lord, that you anoint the ears and the hearts of your people. Let Jesus Christ be born again in our heart to the extent of a new experience of walking with you and knowing you. I pray, O Lord, that you anoint me. Think through my mind, speak through my lips this morning, so that all of us at the end of this sharing will have been tremendously blessed of you, transformed more and more to the image and the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you once again for coming into our world. We appreciate you, Lord. We give you thanks, for we have prayed in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This morning, I would like to share with us on what I've titled, "The Grandest Party Ever." The Grandest Party Ever. The Grandest Party Ever. Now, rich people often want to boast about their riches. And one of the ways to do that is to throw big parties whenever there is an occasion or an opportunity for it. I read recently about a rich person in my country of birth who had parties held in different cities for his daughter who was getting married. So they had, it's like, just to give you a picture, it's like having a party in Melbourne and in Perth and in Sydney on different weekends for the same singular wedding. Why was that done? To make a statement that I've got it, you know. There is some money around here. people call it the spilling over of a party. So they first held it in a particular city, and then they held it somewhere, and then another place. So it's a spilling over from the first one, as it were. There have been instances when people have actually had parties on the land, and it will spill over into the air. What I mean by that is the party actually started on the ground, you know, and then after a few hours, they say, let's go and party some more, you know, and then they get into the aircraft, and then they will go there, and they go and do some party, and then they will send the pictures to us through, you know, various social media. There have been instances when people will first have the party maybe on the land, and then they will go over the sea, you know, hire a yacht or an ocean liner, a ship, and then they will party. Now, those things are just to make statements that, look, we've arrived. There is money. There is something to, you know, to throw around. And the bigger they, I mean, the more they spend, the more they are able to go from one place to another, the more they are able to make a statement about the largeness or the grand status of the party. They even go to the extent of actually giving gifts to people when they come for party. And that was why I shared with you the other time that when we moved to Australia, it was a culture shock that we would be invited and then people will ask us, what are you going to bring? Because my background is when you actually come or when you are invited to a place, people want to make a statement that they actually have more than enough. That's why they are inviting you. So apart from feeding you and making you okay, by the time you are leaving, they actually give you things, you know, to take home. I mean, people do give, you know, things like they can actually give you, like, you know, a comb, a fan. I mean, people give iPhone, you know, at parties. Don't look at me as if it never happened. I'm telling you, people actually will give you iPhone for coming to their parties just to make a statement that this is grand. Now, but the passage we have just read talks about a party that was bigger than all these parties that I've just talked about. That's why I call it the grandest party ever. Because the parties I've just described talks about having parties in different locations, you know, having parties in different habitats, you know, land and sea or land and here together. But this party actually was not just about cities, was not just about habitat or places. It was actually about realms. There was a spillover, if you like, of this party from heaven to earth. And that's why the Bible says that the angel of the Lord first appeared. I mean, this was a big thing. This was a massive thing for the angels that they got so overjoyed and they actually strayed away from heaven, so to speak, and they found themselves on earth. It was such a joyous moment that one of them appeared to the shepherd and then gave this news. And then the Bible says, after a while, a host of heaven, and when the Bible talks about a host, it's talking about multitudes, many, uncountable, innumerable, actually joined the first angel to say, yes, it's happening here. There is a party going on here. So it was a spilling over of this party from one realm, which is the heavenly realm, onto earth, like we have just read in Luke chapter number 2. So it was a movement or a spillover of a party from the invisible realm to the visible. Look at what it says in verse number 10. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring to you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. And then by the time you go to verse number 13, and suddenly there was with the angel. So initially there was an angel that appeared to them to give them this news. And then after the news, the Bible says in verse 13, and suddenly there was with the angel, the initial angel that gave the news, a multitude of the heavenly hosts. The heavenly hosts still talk about the angel, the angelic beings, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and earth peace, goodwill towards men. Now this was a big party. And that was the first Christmas. And that's why every Christmas ought to be a big party of some sort. Now, when I'm talking about big party, I'm not just talking about having to buy drinks and food and all those. Of course, it should involve that. Many times, the times people actually get the biggest or the largest number of gifts is during Christmas, because it is a gifting period. It is a time that gifts are exchanged, gifts are given to people. And this was a big, big, big party. Now, But you need to ask yourself this question. What was the reason for this party? Now, when I started, I talked about a party that was held in three different cities in the same country. The reason for that was because there was a wedding. Now, this party, what was the reason for it? Simple. A baby was born. A baby was born. That was the reason. And this baby was actually born not to the kings, not to the rulers, but to unpopular people. People did not know who Joseph was. People did not know who Mary was in the community. They were not people of clout in the society. They were just regular people in the community. No one knew them. I mean, who would know a carpenter? I mean, it wasn't even a carpenter for the kings. It was just a regular carpenter. There was a baby that was born, but this baby was born to unpopular people. So what's the big deal about this baby that was born, and this baby that was born to unpopular and not rich, actually poor people, because we find out that when they will come to bring Jesus for dedication, they could not even afford to bring the required animals. The first animal that was supposed to be brought were supposed to be lambs or sheep, but they couldn't afford that, so they had to bring pigeon and turtle doves because they were quite poor. Now, what was the reason why the birth of a baby in a poor place like Bethlehem to poor couple like Mary and Joseph would bring such a joy that would trigger a party that would not just spill from one city to the other or from one habitat to the other, but from one realm, the invisible realm, to the physical? Simple. Because the greatest problem of man had just been solved. At this point in time, the greatest problem of man was just being provided a solution. Now, let me say this without sounding insensitive. The greatest problem of man is not cancer. I said I wanted to say that without being insensitive because I know that there are people here who have got sufferers or families around them who are suffering from cancer. As a matter of fact, there is virtually every family, extended family in Australia that will at least be acquainted to one person that suffers from one cancer or the other. So it's ravaging our society and our community. And I don't mean to minimize the suffering that is attached to having cancer, but that's actually not the greatest problem of man. It has never been, it is not, and it will never be. As difficult as it always comes, and both to the individual suffering it, and of course by extension to the family that are taking care of them, but that is never the greatest problem of man. Now, the greatest problem of man is never poverty. I know for people that are poor, that are struggling to feed, they will think that, well, this is probably the biggest, the grandest, you know, problem I've ever experienced. But that's never been the greatest problem of man. The greatest problem of man has never been joblessness. I know for a jobless person, it's like, you know, you solve this problem and my whole world is sorted. But that's still not the greatest problem of man. Now, I'm saying that because at the point that Jesus was born, the reason why there was a party that spilled from one realm to the other was simply because there was a solution that was preferred to the greatest problem of man. And like I said, it's never the issue of cancer or health situation. It's never the issue of joblessness. It's not even the lack of the education. Lack of education has never been the problem of man. And may I say that your greatest problem is not your husband. I know it may seem like that, you know. Your greatest problem is not your wife. Somebody will say, if you just take care of this man, I will be happy. No, but that's not your greatest problem. At this point in time, the greatest problem of man was solved. There was a solution that was preferred to it. And that was why there was a lot of joy in the heavens, to the point that the angels, quote and unquote, strayed onto earth, you know, out of excitement. What was the reason? What was actually the reason for it? Because a Savior was born, there was a solution that was procured to the problem of man. So what was the problem of man? Maybe we should start from the standpoint of what the angel said. The angel did not introduce in this particular passage the problem of man. The angel introduced the solution to the problem of man. And maybe we're able to walk from the solution to the problem. What does the Bible say in verse number 11? Look at what it says. Luke chapter number 2. Verse 11. And that's the place we are echoed and read together. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior. Church, please say with me, a Savior. A Savior who is Christ the Lord. So the reason for the party, this grandest party ever, was because a Savior had been born. Now, that was the solution provided to the greatest problem of humanity, of you and of me, of the people that lived then, the people that are living now, you and I, and the people that will ever live. A Savior was born. Now, a Savior simply means a rescuer, a deliverer. It is like saying that somebody is about to be hit, you know, by a moving train, and somebody else comes and takes him away from the train track. The person who has taken the other guy away from the train track is a Savior in some form. He's a rescuer. He's a deliverer. Because if the Savior had not come to rescue the guy and move him away from the train track, then the end result would have been catastrophic. There would have been death. So this Savior is otherwise known as a deliverer or a rescuer. So what the angel was saying in this instance, that a deliverer has come, a rescuer has come. But then it still does not explain and provide us with information about the problem. Yes, we know the solution, but what exactly was the problem? In other words, what was humanity saved from? What was the deliverer, delivered from? Rescued from what? Delivered from what? And that's why I will ask you to quickly flip to the book of Matthew in chapter number 1. It's the same story, but written in the different under a different context, because at this time the angel that appeared was actually talking not to the shepherd, but was talking to Joseph. Look at it in verse number 21, Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. Did you see that? For he will save his people from their sins. So let's put them together. The angel of the Lord in the book of Luke chapter number 2 came and told the shepherds, guys, something great is happening. Something powerful has just happened. And those guys were so afraid because all of a sudden, in the middle of the night, from nowhere, a bright light came. And this light was really very bright. And they were confused. They were afraid. And the angel said, no, you guys don't have to be afraid. We're just in a party. Don't you get it? We are in a party mode from heaven. I just found myself on that. Can I tell you something? I'm just making that up anyway. Can I tell you something? Something has just happened. A Savior has been born. And when you just oppose that to this, it means that, look, a deliverer has been born to solve the greatest problem of man. Because the greatest problem of man has always been sin. Every problem of man is traceable to sin. Because none of these things existed until man fell in the Garden of Eden. And over the generations, the problem of man had never been solved. I mean, people have come around and solved money problem, solved health problem, solved marital problem, solved, you know, relationship problem, but nobody had been able to provide a solution to the sin problem. And this sin problem was just like all of us, humanity, actually standing on the rain track, just awaiting the time the train is going to eat us. And all of a sudden, the deliverer came. So the deliverer came for one singular purpose. Every other thing that Jesus came to do on earth is hinged on this particular purpose. Every other thing was an addition of some sort. It was a deliverance from sin. A deliverance from sin. You shall call his name Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from sin. I believe that if we actually have a revelation of the gravity of what we have been saved from, we will forever be in the party mode. Forever. Christmas Day inclusive. Perhaps the essence of the partying on Christmas Day will actually escalate because it is a day that we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because something significant has happened. Don't you get it, people of God? We were all on a highway to hell. I mean, if Jesus had not come, we are programmed for hell. And all of a sudden, somebody appeared on the scene, and then his appearance, as it were, took us from the train track and saved us and kept us alive and gave us hope and a future. So having an understanding of the gravity of what we have been saved from will make us to actually be so excited that we want to party all our days, all the days of our lives. Now, but when it says it saves them, it will save humanity from sin, you need to understand that this was a combo of some sort that was delivered into our hands. Combo in the sense that there were a couple of things actually involved in that package called salvation. What does that mean? The word salvation means to be rescued, to be delivered. And the angel of the Lord is saying, look, man has just been delivered from sin. But man has been delivered from sin. It's in various levels, and it actually has a couple of components, which I'm going to breeze through quickly. The reason for this is because I just wish that you would understand that you have been delivered from so much that you need to be. You and I need to be so grateful, eternally grateful, to the point and to the extent that even if Jesus were not to do any other thing for us again, we should still be eternally grateful for what he has done. You know, I've come across believers who get angry and annoyed with God from time to time. I'm not sure whether you've been there, have been there at some point. God, why did you do that? I mean, I'm so disappointed in you. But if we knew the gravity of what was done by the reason of the birth of the Savior, forever, even if Jesus were not to do any other thing in addition for us, we'll still be grateful because we've been saved from a lot. We've been saved from a lot. Now, the word salvation, like I said, is a combo. And I just want to unpack it in this very brief period. The first thing is that the angels were joyous because they were the baby was born. The baby that was born will, number one, save you and I from the penalty of sin. The baby that has just been born will save you and I from the penalty of sin. That is taking care of our past. What does that mean? The penalty, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Romans chapter 6 verse 23. It means that we are deserving of death. Death in this instance is not just talking about physical, biological cessation of life. It's not talking about cessation of our biological life, which we're going to, at one time or the other, experience if Jesus tarries. There will be a time when we're going to exhale and not be able to inhale again. That's going to come if Jesus tarries, like I said. So it's not talking about the cessation of biological life. It's saying that the reward for having seen the sinful nature is an eternal separation from God. That means separated from God. And that's exactly why the angels were so excited. Finally, men are not going to be eternally separated from their maker. Why? Because the penalty of sin has just been paid by the reason of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he was going to be on the program to make sure that the penalty of sin was fully paid. And that penalty of sin was fully paid on the cross of Calvary. You remember when he said the word, "It is finished." The program and the work of salvation of man is finished. Nothing to add to it. And that's exactly why we should be eternally grateful, because you are no longer to be penalized for your sin. Do you get that? You are not longer going to be penalized for your sin. Your sin of the past has been taken care of. And that's not because God brushed this aside. It's because he paid for it. I read recently about a judge in the UK who they brought somebody who actually stole on a Christmas day. You know, this guy was an homeless person and he stole on a Christmas day. I think he stole some food materials, and they brought it to the court. And when the court, when the judge saw him, he was moved with compassion. But he wouldn't just allow him to go scot-free, because the law of the land says the guy should be punished. So According to what was supposed to be meted out to him, the judge actually read his statement or his judgment in this instance, and he said he's going to be fined so amount for stealing, not just because he was stealing on a Christmas day, but for stealing generally, whether it's on a Christmas day or Easter day does not matter. Now, but as soon as he read out the judgment, he knew exactly that this homeless man was not going to be able to have enough to pay, because if he had enough money, he wouldn't have gone to steal in the first instance. You know what the judge did? He put his hand in his pocket, and right there and then, he actually paid the money for the homeless man. This was a man he had never met before, just out of his mercy and compassion. That was exactly what God did. Now, God was not going to be able to brush our sin aside, because he's a holy God. Every sin has to be punished. By the reason of our birth, we are sinners. It's not because you're going to commit it tomorrow. It's because you were born into it. And by the reason of that, God looked at it and he wanted to take care of it. So he paid with his own money, as it were, what he has. The greatest thing, that the most thing that he treasures most, was his son. And he paid for it, so that we will no longer be penalized. So that's why today we should be in the party mode, because we are no longer going to be penalized, because the penalty has been paid. The penalty has been paid for you and I. But sin is not just talking about the penalty. The reason why they were joyous, the angels were so joyful, was not just because the baby that was born was going to take care of the penalty of sin, but also this baby was also going to take care of the power of sin. So the first one is the penalty of sin, and the second one is the power of sin. So when he says he's going to save his people from their sin, he's not just talking about the penalty of the sin that they were supposed to have. He's also talking about the power of sin. So you and I are no longer under the power of sin. Power talks about the dominion of sin. And that's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 14. It says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you." Sin shall not have dominion over you. So you're not just being saved from the penalty that was supposed to accrue into your account by the reason of the fact that you are a sinner. You have also been saved from the dominion of sin. Now, this is what it means. People of God, just look at me. This is what it simply means. It simply means that because of Christ, because the Savior was born, you no longer have to obey sin. Now, by extension, this is what it also means. It means that if there is anyone who is under the dominion of sin, it's just because he has chosen to stay under that dominion of sin. In other words, you and I can literally walk out. As in, you can literally walk away from the dominion of sin. I had an experience years ago. I was driving and then somebody hit my car. You know, this guy was just a dangerous driver. He was reversing into a major road and he hit my car. So as soon as I came out of the car, I knew the car was damaged. But when I saw the person that was driving the car, I knew I had to take care of this myself. Because just looking at him, you just know that he does not have the money, you know. There is a way you just look at people and just, you know. And I'm just talking about just trying to underestimate people. But, as soon as he came out from the car, this happened in my country, he just went on his, prostrating. When people prostrate, you know that they don't have money, you know. Prostrate means you are lying on the floor and say, "I'm so sorry, I did it wrong." And I said, "Why did you do this?" And somebody came from behind me and said, "Make sure that you make him to pay for it, because it's actually just the driver, the owner will pay for that." And to that extent, I said, "Okay, well, maybe I should give it a try then." So I started speaking to him, "No, man, you need to fix this car." You know, I started having some boldness to ask him for money, because I now realized that he wasn't actually the owner of the truck. Now, a short while after, he rang his boss, somebody rang each other, and the boss came onto the scene. When you see this man, you will know that this guy was able to afford. As a matter of fact, he was able to replace my car, you know. and as we were talking, this man was already prostrated. I mean, the driver of the truck, and was begging and was crying, was doing all sort of gymnastics just to get my mercy. Now, I would have walked away. I would have gone to fix the car. But because I had the information that there was somebody who actually owned the truck, who was able to afford it. And like I said, when this man came, I knew he was able to afford it. He came in a better car than mine, and, you know, it was looking, you know, very well fed and, you know, even overfed, you know, to some extent. So I asked him, I said, look, this is what happened. And he said, what are we going to do? I said, well, look, you've got to fix the car. And he said, no problem. And he said, how much is it? And we got a mechanic just right there and then. This guy was still crying at this time, you know, the driver of the truck. And then we got the mechanic, and the mechanic also, because the mechanic actually saw the person that was going to pay for it, he inflated the amount that he was going to use to fix my car. And at that time, I couldn't say, no, that's too much. I mean, this car won't cost that much, you know. But the guy just, you know, put his hand in his pocket, just, you know, it was a cash society at the time. I'm talking about many years ago, and I just gave him the money. That guy made, you know, as much money I would have made in a month, you know, over my car. You know, and as soon as he did that, you know, the guy that was prostrating and begging before, he just did like this and just looked at me and just walked away. Why? Because somebody has just paid for it. My power over him and controlling him, no, you sit down, you come up, you come here, you know, was just broken. Why? Because the penalty was paid. The power has been broken. That's exactly what happened. Because the penalty was paid, because Jesus came to pay for our sin, the power of sin was broken. You can literally look at sin and walk away. Just like that guy did. I felt so bad. I said, this guy was just begging me 5 minutes ago, and then he was pocketing, and I was saying, look, you just go away. This guy, you know, just 5 minutes ago. Because the power that held on him at that point in time was broken. People of God, I'm saying this with all conviction, that if there is any form of sin in your life putting pressure on you, it's simply because you have allowed it, because you can literally today actually walk away. Why? Because the power of sin was broken. So it was not just, the angels were not just excited because the penalty has been paid. They were not just excited because the power of sin has been broken, but also because they were excited because we have just been delivered from the presence of sin, or we will be delivered from the presence of sin. So the part of this combo takes care of the past, which is the penalty of the past, or sin of the past has just been taken care of. The part of this combo also takes care of the present, which means the power of sin for the present has been broken, so you can literally walk away. But it's not just all. The part of this combo has also involves us having the hope that we're going to be saved from the presence of sin. We have been saved from the penalty of sin in the past. We have been saved now from the power of sin for the present. We will be saved from the presence of sin for the future. The presence of sin talks about a time when you are not going to have to deal with temptation. And that's what we're looking up to. Because at this point in time, even though we have been saved from the power of sin, we still have to control our body and speak to ourselves what we need to do. But there will come a time, and this is actually the consummation of this salvation package that we've got from God, that we will not actually be in the presence of sin. In other words, there will be sin far away from us, and there's not going to be any form of temptation, because we're going to be away from the presence of sin. This is the good news, people of God. For the past, penalty has been paid. For the present, the power has been broken. For the future, there is a hope of a resurrection where we're going to come up with a body. The Bible calls it a glorified body. And this body is going to be beautiful. It's going to be powerful. It's not going to be with any blemish of some sort. It's the kind of body that Jesus came up with when he rose from the dead. You remember? They were in the house, and Jesus came in without them opening the door. I love that kind of a body. I can come into your bedroom without you noticing me. Don't worry, I'm not coming now because I don't have it now. You know, that's the glorified body. The glorified body that can penetrate into the world, that is not going to be upheld, it's not going to be withheld, rather, by any physical structure. And this body will also be able to eat. Do you remember what Jesus did? Do you have some fish? That's what he has then. And they gave him fish, and he ate with them. So I'm going to be able to eat, I'm going to be able to penetrate the world. That's because the presence of sin will be broken forever. This is the reason why Christmas should be the best days of our life, the time that reminds us that we have been saved from his power, or rather, to start with, from the penalty of sin. We have been saved from the power of sin. And one day, we're going to be saved from the presence of sin. This is the good news. This is the reason why it was the grandest party then, and this is the reason why you and I need to be in the party mode today. Shall we pray?